Smiles are supposed to be contagious. I'm smiling. Let me see everybody look. Be happy that you're here today. The Lord allowed you another day. So there were three boys having a conversation on the playground. They were bragging about their dads. I probably should have saved this for Father's Day, but y'all won't remember, so I'll say it again then. One said, "My dad scribbles a few words down. They call it a song, and they pay him $50. Another kid said, "My dad scribbles a few words and calls it a poem. They pay him $100. Now, I got two of my kids here, right? Yep. So y'all listen to this part. The third kid said, "That's nothing. My dad scribbles a few words, calls it a sermon, and takes six people to collect all the money in the room." Coming around. If y'all hadn't been around here, I try to pop a joke off, but I'm not funny, evidently. Because it's hard to pull a laugh out of some of these people. Okay. I'm getting better. Last week, I usually don't bridge sermons together unless God tells me to. So last week we talked about, because it was a new year, a new life, living in a new life, what it was like. Today we're going to take it a little step further. This is a separate sermon, but they do tie in together. We're going to be in Romans chapter 12. So we're going to talk about more of what transformation, a transformed life. If those of you that want titles, a transformed life. We got the new life. Now we're going to build on that. You know, like we said last week and a bunch of other times, it doesn't stop. When you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're not finished. You're not retired, right, Charlie?
That's right.
Charlie said you're not retired on your Christian walk with God, building your faith and building your endurance. So we're gonna be transformed. So bear with me. I'm going to read Romans chapter 1. I didn't tell you a scripture or a verse, So we're going to read all 12 if I find it. I was in Corinthians. I'm pretty close, ain't I? I passed it up. Thought I had it marked, but hey, that happens. So y'all can laugh at that too when I stumble, mess up. All right, a living sacrifice, a transformed life. That's what we're going to talk about today. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This, always pay attention when I put emphasis on something. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Remember, what's God's will for you? We all got one. Verse 3, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of you has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same functions, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We had different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophecy, then prophesize in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If this is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. And if it's to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully." Verse 9. "Love much, be sincere. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patience in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Dear Heavenly Father, just thank you for this opportunity to be here to deliver your word, Lord. Just be with us as we go over these few verses, and just your will be done, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. We're going to break that down. That was a lot of information. And I get it. And I typically don't read that much at one time. But I want us to get the totality of the what he's talking about here. Living a transformed life, being a Christian. So remember he said, I'll break each verse down in a minute. Transformed minds. Dedicated service. Practical, loving conduct toward fellow believers. So we're going to talk about those three things that encompass what we're trying to achieve as a Christian. So transform minds, renewing of your mind. Okay? And we talk about service, and then we talk about loving conduct. So a living sacrifice, verses 1 and 2. First of all, we talk about God's mercy. If it wasn't for God and His grace, His mercy for us, to send His Son to die on the cross, we wouldn't be having this conversation. There'll be no need. And so we got to realize and recognize, number one, it's all through Jesus Christ, His Son. We got to remember that. And because of His grace, He sent His Son. So mercy, we have to be committed to Christ. You got to make it a choice. Okay, you're going to make a choice to accept Christ. So when you do that, then you got to be committed. And it keeps going. Like we said earlier, in a jokingly way, we don't retire. Like a preacher used to say, don't just get saved or think you're saved for fire insurance. There's more to it than that. We got to give yourself wholly to God. What does that mean? Your mind, your soul, your strength, all of it. You can't be a part-time Christian. This ain't a part-time job. Okay, this ain't just being a bench warmer. You got to give wholly to God. What God already done for us is the basis of everything we do for Him. He done it for us out of His mercy and His love. So now we do it because of that. That's what we should strive for. A living sacrifice, present your bodies as holy, pleasing to God. Spiritual worship. Typically, you think of a sacrifice as something dead. That's what they did way back under in the Old Testament. They had to sacrifice an animal, put it at the altar, whatever. We got had the ultimate sacrifice, Jesus Christ. He took all that weight of the world, the sin, and He died on the cross for us. But the difference is, He come up out of the ground, out of the tomb. He resurrected. He defeated sin. He defeated death. So now we got a purpose, right? He led the way. He did it for us. Now we got a purpose. Now we got to lead that way. We got to sacrifice our bodies. We got to give all into Him. Paul uses the word urge in those verses. I urge you, brothers and sisters. So just a little background here. So what does urge mean? The Greek meaning, it's to call, a call to. So put the Greek into it, say he urged you. Paul says he called you. That'd be a command, right? It's not a choice. If you're a Christian, you're called. The descriptive name given to the Holy Spirit, who comes alongside the faithful to encourage them in their walk with Christ. You're not by yourself. He's there with us every step of the way. Thank God. Thank the Holy Spirit. Thank Jesus. Thank the Trinity. The whole ball of wax, lack of better words. He left the Holy Spirit there for us to guide us and direct us. Amen. And if you listen to him, you know, we're going to get in a minute. What he said later, he says, don't conform to the world, the pattern of the world. We got to be in it. You know, we got to live here temporarily. Yeah. But remember, our eternity started when we accepted, the day we accepted Christ. Our eternity started right then. We're walking through here. We're going to go right on into eternity with him. Do not let the worries of this world, don't let the bad stuff of the world, I call it, you know, my terminology, Oakhurst style is stuff. Don't let stuff interfere with your relationship and your walk with Christ. Just don't do it. You don't have to. He took care of all that. If we conform to the world's standards of behavior, we mask who we are in Christ. There's a Greek word, I don't get into it, called masquerade. You heard of a masquerade party? You know, you cover up. You don't know who you are. Don't be an undercover Christian. People should know who you are, what you are, your walk with Christ everywhere you go, every day of the week. Amen. Oh, matter of fact, look at your bulletin there. You know, my favorite word daily is on here. The bulletin says, he walks with me daily. Daily. That's what we need. He's there for us. If there's a disconnect, it's with you. He's there. The Christian life should be marked by transformation. Now, I'm not a big transformer guy watching the transformer dudes. You know, they're robots or whatever they are, and they turn into a truck or whatever they do. Anyway, when you accept Christ, there's got to be a transformation. There's got to be something different. You got to get rid of that old. Get rid of it. Just like we had a baptism last week. Representation of what Christ did for us. Buried, rise again. It's a new life. Renewing of your mind. Get your mind right on it. Change from the inside out. Your heart. Did you know in the Greek that mind and heart, when they say mind, they're not talking about the physical heart. They're talking about your soul, your inner core, your deepest, the only where God can dwell, the Holy Spirit can dwell. That's where you need to be. That's what we're looking for as individuals. Verses 3-8 describes that was a living sacrifice, the transformation, humble service in the body. Now, you know, I'm big on this part. I beat y'all half to death with it last year, leading up about service and doing something and all that stuff. I'm not going to go there as much. Ooh, I heard a laugh. Rough crowd. All right. So bad, y'all made me lose my spot. So humble service in the body of Christ. That's what he's talking about in Romans 3-8. One body, but a diversity of gifts within that body. Okay, one body of Christ. And you know me, where's the church at? Right now, it's currently sitting right here in this building. The people, us, the church, right? We're one body. We all got something to offer at the table, whatever that may be. And that's when you and God. That's when you got to do that searching with Him and that closeness to find out what His will is for you. Remember, everybody has a will. If God by grace gives everyone a unique task in the church, then there is no reason for people to think more highly or lowly than themselves. There's nobody in here more important than the other. We're all the same body, the same goal, going for the same place. Everybody has a spot, and it's just as important. And everybody has something to offer. You got to do an humble. I say, got that old curse, humble. So your humble assessment of yourself. Let God reveal to you what you got to offer. But you know what it takes, though? It takes that step of faith, that leap of faith. God, I don't know what I'm doing or what you want me to do, but here you go. You let me know. And you got to be, once you do that, you got to be willing to say, okay, I'll do that, even if I don't want to. We all in life had to do stuff we don't want to. It works that way with a walking Christian. The flesh don't want to do a lot of things. But God wants you to realize that He's there. He'll get you through it. Know your God-given gifts with sober judgment. There's diverse gifts. Use various gifts. And we read, there was prophecy, service, teaching, encouraging, mercy. Y'all heard me say this before? Pick up the phone and call a friend or somebody you know that might be going through a little rough patch in their life. Just that simple courtesy, just to reach out. Means a lot to them. As a pastor, I learned that. I mean, I kind of knew that, but I didn't know that until I went to visiting people in the hospitals, nursing, especially the nursing home. Those people are lonely. They just want somebody to talk to. And that means the world to them. And all it costs you is a little time of your day to go in there. Even people at home that live by themselves. Just go by and say hi. Talking about the church. The church is not an organization. I'm using big words here. It's living. Let's put it that way. We got church, I got it. We got schedules and we do certain things at a time. That's all good. That's fine. We need a little organization. We got to remember what the church really is, though. It's living. It's us. If you read that in what we just read in Romans, and I'm still in verses 3-8, he said prophecy, serving. He listed a laundry list of those. I did a little research. If you go somewhere else, you might read something a little different or different type of gifts. So in Romans, right, what we just read, Paul lists seven of the 19 that's in the New Testament. The New Testament has 19 different things that we can fall, categories that we can fall into to serve the Lord. Since none of them or identical, there's no set number. Let me clarify that. God can do what He wants to, when He wants to, how He wants to with you. He can give you some gift that you never even fathomed you ever existed inside of you. The key is the relationship to God. Remember that relationship we talk about all the time, relationship to Christ. You got to have that relationship. Let Him tell you where you need to go, how you need to go, what you need to do. Let him guide you. He knows. He created you. He knows better than you do. You know, that's when that flesh, that's a struggle. I know I'm a living example of standing here. And stuff. I never would have done this on my own. Never. Ever. By far. But all it takes is just a little bit of obedience, listening to Christ, and trust him and let him guide you what he wants you to do. And you won't believe what he opens up for you. You know, self gets in the way a lot. I want to do this. I want to do this, but God says do that. They don't match up sometimes. Which way are you going to go? You're going to stay in that flesh you're living in, or you're going to follow Christ? Love in action, verses 9 through 21. This is hard for some people to do. Most people, probably. We're going to do a sermon, or if God allows me, when he's ready, it's ready. But when he tells me to present it, we're going to do a sermon, or have a sermon on God's love. That big word, agape, love. Which you can't possess unless you don't have Christ. The flesh won't let you love that way. So we're going to talk, that's later on. So that love is the key to relationships. You got to have that love. Paul says you got to love. Then he said you got to hate evil. You're not hating the person or the people. You're hating the evil. I want you to think, we all probably got that person. Just think of somebody you really don't ever want to see again in your life. You're praying to God, you don't have to. Think of that person. When you get put in front of that person, how are you going to react? Are you going to do this love, this agape love? You ain't going to take them on a date or nothing. But no. How are you going to react to that person? How are you going to treat them? That's what he's talking about. Even if they're the worst person you can think of as far as evil goes, you know what? God still loves that person. And as long as they still got a breath in their body here on earth, they still got the opportunity to make a choice and clean up and get that mess out of them. So don't write them off. Reach out to them. Hate the evil. Proverbs 8:13 tells us to fear the Lord is to hate evil. Pretty plain. Love the Lord is to hate evil. Fear the Lord is to hate evil. Honor one another above yourselves. Pursue what is best for them. That's hard to do. You want to take care of yourself first. That's the flesh. But what you need to do, I know a couple that's doing a lot of traveling right now. They got a sick loved one. They're trying to do what's best for that person, even though it's costing them some sleep, some time, some money. But that's what he's talking about. Sometimes it's going to cost you something to reach out to that person, to be with that person. He says, never be lacking in zeal. Zeal, right? Let me tell you what that means. Lazy. Don't be lazy in serving the Lord. You know, we talk about when you play that Texas Hold'em, you know, you go all in with the Lord. All in. Don't be lazy serving the Lord. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Use your possessions that God gave you as he directs you. Your possessions, not just monetarily, not just physical, but you know, your time, your money, if he calls you to give, whatever, just do it. Practice hospitality. I know some people need that. Practice that. I might have stepped on a toe instead of made a joke, huh? All right, practice hospitality. Be proactive. Don't wait for it to come to you. Be proactive. You know there's a need. There's a need for us to reach people for the Lord, to put that, plant that seed, get it out there. You know that. Don't wait till that person shows up in this building, because you might not never see that person. Odds are you're not going to see the ones that need to be with the Lord. Go out there. Be proactive. You encounter people every day in your life, every day of the week, either through work, through school, through the grocery store, side of the road, deer leases, deer hunting, whatever. You ain't going to carry a Bible around with you and be you ain't got to preach to them, but you can share the word with them. Mm-hmm. Start with your testimony. Your testimony is your best. It's the best thing you got. As far as personal, I mean, Jesus and His Word is the best. But use your testimony to reach people. Reach out to them. And we got to stay unified. We got to work together. Don't pull against each other. Don't be trying to counteract what somebody else is doing for the Lord. If they are truly a Christian and they're working for the Lord, don't interfere with it. Help them. They want help. If they need help, we're all the same there. Because you know, one day, when we do go home for eternity, we're all gonna be together. I mean, I don't know how close we'll be, or we'll probably cross paths. You might see people you thought you surprised are there. And you might be missing people you thought should be there. So do your best to have peace with everyone. Now, I ain't saying, look, I'm not. Don't be a doormat. I'm not saying that. But you know, and so Jesus led a perfect example of how we should live our life, His 33 years here on earth. He took a lot of stuff. Do your best to have peace with everyone. Leave it to God. That's what you need to do. Leave it with God. For He says it is His to avenge. Talking about at the end of the scripture there. All you need to do is do what His will for you. Give it to Him. Reach out to these people that need to be reached out to, that cross your path, if you like them or not. But you need to have that love. If they, you know, leave it to God to avenge. Don't get revenge yourself. It's usually hurting you usually more than hurts the other person. Let it go. Let God do it. So being a practical Christian. I'll leave y'all with this here in a minute. Love and goodness. Love sincerely, hate evil, cling to the good. Be devoted, honor one another. Rejoice with joyful, mourn with the sorrowful. In other words, you can wrap that up in saying, just be out there with these people, those people, us. You know, we need to be amongst each other. Do it with joy. We need humility and harmony. Associate with the lowly, not be proud. Live peacefully with all, if possible. Dealing with the enemies. It says, bless the persecutors. Don't curse them. Repay no evil for evil. Consider honorable things. If the enemy is hungry, thirsty, feed him. Give him something to drink. I shared a story with Alan, Brother Alan. I do, and I'll be just straight up honest with you. I struggle with the people that reach out to you that's in town or wherever. that wants money. But you know, we need to love that person. We need to do what God leads you to do. I ain't saying He tells you to give money every time, but help that person out. Do whatever God leads you to do. And if he misuses what you gave him, that's on him or her, not you. If you do what God tells you to do, don't worry about the end result of what the other person did with it. That's not our concern. We need to just focus on what God wants us to do, you to do. Bless the persecutors, don't curse them. Repay no evil with evil. Consider honorable things. If enemy is hungry, thirst, read that. Don't be overcome by evil. Overcome evil with good. Don't let the fleshly world take over. You need to stand against that with God. He's there, remember? He said, I'm not going to leave you alone. Joshua 1:9. Sorry, Daryl, it's not even in the script. Joshua 1:9 says, I'll be with you always. Always. Always is always, and is always to the end. No matter what situation you're in or where you're at, good, bad, or ugly, I call it. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Jesus is always there. Here in a minute, we're going to do communion. While y'all thinking about that, number one, you got to have a relationship with Christ. You got to be a Christian. Okay? Number two, I'm going to give you an opportunity here in a second. When we do the invitation, you don't have to come up unless you feel the need. But we're going to get everybody to stand and then get your heart right with God. Amen. You got something maybe you need to clean up, get out of there. God can fix it where you're standing. Or he can do it up here. If you need to come up here and pray, come over and pray. You need to come see me, come see me. I can't do nothing. I can direct you to where in a direction that you may need to go. Give it to God. Everybody stand. Dear and Father, just thank you so much for these few minutes we had together, Lord, and just open our minds, our hearts, what you have us receive. Just thank you for the many blessings you've done for us. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. She can play a song of invitation. Like I said, right where you at or need to come up here, do what God tells you to do.